Hello, welcome to Holy Name Sisters Women on a Mission podcast. We are happy you have joined us. Thank you. I am Sister Mimi Maloney, and I live in Santa Cruz, California. And my co-host is...
I'm Sister Teresa Shields. I live in Seattle, Washington, not too far from our guest today. We are so grateful and happy to welcome two representatives of Mercy Housing Northwest. Mercy Housing is a program of five religious communities who have come together to provide affordable housing for low-income families and individuals all over Idaho and Washington State. Its mission is to provide not only housing, stable housing for families, but to give services like a food bank and counseling and education, a preschool, all kinds of wonderful programs. So we're very excited to welcome Sister Georgianopoulos, who's the Holy Name Sister on the board, and Katie Parker, who will tell you all about the wonderful things Mercy Housing is doing. And so before we start, Mimi will read the prayer at the beatification of Mother Rose DeRoche.
Blessed Mary Rose DeRoche, obtain for us today the audacity of faith, the simplicity of hope, the power of love, that we may actualize the words of Jesus. I have come to cast fire upon the earth, and would that it were already kindled.
Amen.
Good. Well, welcome, everyone. It's great to have you. And maybe we can begin. I'm not sure who would like to answer this question, but I think we could start out by asking a little bit about the history of Mercy Housing Northwest and the mission of Mercy Housing Northwest. So who would like to begin, Georgia or Katie?
I can
go ahead.
I think Katie would be good.
Thank you, Katie.
Thank you. Yeah. So, thank you for having me here today. It's just a pleasure to be with Sister Georgia in this partnership. And I think it stands and shows just the partnerships that we rely on for this all to be successful. So, I think the question was, tell us a little bit about Mercy. So, I'm going to jump in and do that. So Mercy Housing has been around for a number of years. I know in the Denver office, they just had the 40th gala for Mercy Housing. But here in the Northwest, we're a little bit younger than that. And it all came about because some sisters attended a conference and they thought, how do we address the needs of these families, particularly these families that are experiencing being unhoused and so many kids. And it was just, you know, something that was in the sister's heart. And so four communities came together and said, religious communities came together and said, we want to address this issue. And so the Adrian Dominicans, the Sisters of Providence, the Tacoma Dominican community, and the Sisters of St. Joseph of Peace. I don't want to get anybody wrong because, you know. They came together and they said, we're all in on this, and started under intercommunity, which I think is the biggest piece of this, right? Like, this is all about partnerships, and that no one individual or one organization can be an answer to this, that this is successful only by the nature of partnerships and coming together. And the sisters knew that right from the get-go, right? And so they started on this journey and had their first housing developments open in 1993. There was a building called Family Tree that had all the things that the sisters thought were important: community, living together in a good location, safety, and a childcare center right there in the building, along with our community space. So all these pieces came together for them. And then they did it again down in Olympia. Then the sisters of the SNJMs came along and said, we're also in on this. And it's just been an amazing journey. And our mission is to provide safe, vibrant, healthy communities by developing So we do it all, right? We start with the development of the properties, the financing, and then we get them built and turned over and operate them. But we also use housing as a platform. So it's not just the home, right? It's let's get you into housing and then providing service and rich housing for families, seniors, and people with special needs who lack the economic resources to access quality, safe housing opportunities. And so we're all in on that. We operate on the principles of respect, mercy, and justice. And those are the core values that were handed to us by the sisters. We try to live and breathe them. And we're really clear that it's a journey, that this is just keeps getting better. Every time we open a new housing, it keeps getting better.
Wow.
Thank you, Katie. That was great. And talk about meeting an unmet need in our world today.
And when you said the mercy, justice, and
respect.
And respect, that so ties in with our community's charism of respect, especially for the most vulnerable among us. Katie, thank you. So I want to ask Georgia a little question. Georgia, you're the Holy Names representative on the Mercy Housing Board. Can you tell us why you're excited and why you agreed to be on this board, which I know involves a lot of work and fundraising?
Well, when I completed my educational ministry in Tacoma in 2012, I moved from Tacoma to Seattle. My religious community at that time asked me to represent our community on the Mercy Housing Northwest Board of Directors. And, you know, what the board does is oversees the organization's affordable housing programs and charitable projects in Washington and Idaho, in those very two communities. And as Katie mentioned, the guiding values, it's the job of the Mercy Housing Northwest board members to see that the Mercy Housing guiding values of respect, justice, and mercy are being made real in Mercy Housing's everyday operations. Those operations impact residents, the communities, employees, and partners. And currently that board has 14 members, five religious communities, each are moving into honorary membership. Other members are drawn from organizations such as Amazon, King County Metro, real estate companies, law firms, and nonprofits. And what particularly excites me about Mercy Housing is that I really enjoy seeing how families flourish as they experience good housing with supportive resident services. Residents begin to build community with other residents and even take on leadership roles.
Wow. So it's really exciting. It supports this, you know, place where we hold those families, we get them into housing, and then we help provide services that wrap around them. And again, as a platform for success for that family, whatever that looks like for the family.
And also, can you tell us a few little success stories that you've had, especially Mercy Housing Magnuson, because that's the one I'm familiar with, it's our neighbor. And I just loved it when I came to the dedication. It was so exciting to see the childcare there and the clinic. So give us an example of a few little stories.
I'm happy to talk about Magnuson because each of our buildings are such amazing communities on their own and have their own personalities that is just kind of amazing to me. So at Magnuson, we started meeting with the community. I think it was 2 years prior,
right?
Somewhere in that range, there was already affordable housing at Magnuson in the Magnuson Park area. And we were really clear that we were going to be the new kids on the block, and we didn't want to duplicate services, nor did we want to use resources in a way that wouldn't benefit all of the residents in the park. And so we started meeting as a collaborative with all the members of the park coming together and just trying to get some understandings where the places that they had traveled in their journey of affordable housing, and what were the gaps that they were seeing. And this collaborative included the schools, it included youth programming in the park, it included the Seattle Parks and Recreation Department. You know, it just was, we tried to be just all inclusive. And what we heard really clearly from all of these different folks, including residents of the affordable housing community there, was there's a gap in regards to, this is one of the most well-off areas in Seattle, right? And it's a food desert for these residents because the closest store is 7-Eleven. And so folks were doing their grocery shopping at 7-Eleven, which, as we all know, is not always the greatest resource for fresh produce and just fresh goods. And so in preparation for our opening, we started really honing in on how can we help with that. The other piece that came up was that behavioral health services were also really hard for the residents to access. And so we already had in our plans that this would also have a health clinic in it. And we also had in our plans that this would have a early learning center at it. And so we already had that in process. And so it gave us an opportunity to really look at, you know, maybe we need to go to our health provider who was a part of some of these meetings and say, this is what they're identifying. How can we answer these needs? So both of those things came on our radar very quickly and whatnot. And I'm really proud to say that our partner at the health clinic just immediately shifted and said, you know, primary care is important to us. We're going to do that, but we're going to see about finding a behavioral health person to be out here at least one day a week, if not more. And so they were receptive to it, and we were able to bring that in. The other piece that happened was that four of the partners came together, and we created a food pantry with the University District Food Bank. And once a week, we have a food pantry there from 11 to 2 that rivals any great food bank, you know, and residents of our buildings, the other buildings, and then anyone living in the area, because there are a number of unhoused folks in RVs or even workers at the park that are not making a wage that can sustain them and their family. They can all come and use this, and it's not far away. It can be a part of their day on their lunch hour. And so it was very strategic in how we did it.
That is so amazing.
Thank you, Katie. I wanted to ask, now is Magnuson Park, that's a geographic area in Seattle, huh?
Right.
Yes.
Is it primarily low income? You had mentioned, no, it isn't.
No, it isn't. It's where very people of means live. So it was so wonderful that Mercy Housing Northwest could be there.
Yes. And it's just been so amazing to watch. It was a little awful in regards to the pandemic because the clinic had to close. And so we didn't have access to that. The space is small and they couldn't safely operate, but we were able to sustain and keep the food pantry going the entire time. I don't think we closed it once during COVID. We just kept shifting and adapting. And again, this is all because our partners came together and were like, okay, how do we make this work? You know, and I don't think that there has been a time yet where we haven't, come together and said, what is the need, you know? And again, the sisters have come to answer that call and that need time and time again. We and Sister Georgia, I think you helped me with this. Sister Georgia was a little not too specific in how much she does outside of all the board stuff, right? Because I will call Sister Georgia up and say, I need quality control checks on the backpacks because they're going out and we want to make sure that the youth are getting the right backpack for their grade level and all of that. Sister Georgia just comes on down and does this quietly, just going through all the backpacks and finding things for us. And the other thing is I laugh because we wanted to do some cultural foods into our into our food banks, and the sisters have made it possible for us to do that in a way that, you know, we try to look at what is at each, you know, what cultures are at each of these properties and what are the things that are most important to them. So we've had goat and all sorts of different spices and, you know, different kinds of camel milk, just because it's so important to some of the community members that are at our places that they have access to some of these culturally specific foods that celebrate who they are and are nutritious for them. And so, yeah, those are just another example. And Sister Georgia, you don't talk about yourself.
I tell Georgia she needs to brag more because she does so much for St. Vincent de Paul and for Mercy Housing. It's just amazing.
That's all right. I'll brag for you.
Okay. Yeah, good. Yeah. Me too.
Thank you, both of you.
How many communities are currently at Mercy Housing Northwest?
Mercy Housing Northwest is about 50 properties. I haven't done a count. We have 3 new properties just this year. So
wow,
that's amazing. And one of those is in collaboration with another affordable housing provider that is offering, that is allowing us to be part of a new building that has 254 units wow. of affordable housing in Seattle.
That's amazing.
It is amazing. And we just had the grand opening of that building. And we're working with Bellwether Housing for that that building. But we have close to 50. We recently sold a few properties and we had to take really great care that those would continue to be affordable and that they would continue to be done in a way that we felt really comfortable with. But we're trying to be really smart about our footprint along the I-5 corridor and whatnot. And so I would say that is the ongoing challenge is, you know, how can we sustain this work? How can we make sure that going way into the future, we will still be able to offer these programs and services? How can we cluster our properties so that we get the, you know, we're as smart as possible about how we do these things, both in property management and resident services. So I would say that is our biggest challenge is making sure that I tell my staff all the time, because they've got these great hearts and they're doing this tough work. And I'm like, hey, but we have to do the business part so that we can do all that. And that's really super important. And I've always thought Mercy does business really well in looking at this big picture, how we can sustain this amazing stuff.
Teresa had mentioned, you know, telling us some success stories or, you know, of maybe of families that have been at Magnuson House.
Yeah, I can think of a couple of things. And I don't know so much about a specific family, but I think I can give a couple of overviews. So one of the things I think that Mercy has done really well, and it all came from a staff member who had a passion for education work and just was like, came and volunteered at a site. And then she graduated and she applied and she has now been with us all that time. So, and she at her heart and core being was just really clear that education was so important for our residents. And she was at a site that was farm worker, agricultural worker housing. And she did the run on numbers and realized that there was nobody that was graduating from high school. And she was like, this can't happen. And so she started at a 0% graduation rate and worked with, again, collaborations of Western Washington University and the parents and families and the Bellingham School District. And she took that program with love and care from a 0% graduation rate to a 98% graduation rate in about 7 to 10 years.
98%.
And now it's just phenomenal.
I hope you put that in your newsletter.
Oh, we talk about that program all the time. Because now what's been amazing is that she is now moved up to be our education manager, housing and education manager. And she's trying to see if She can now move all the core pieces of that program to the Seattle area and beyond. So we now have youth initiative school liaisons at a number of our properties, and she's trying to operationalize what she did at the Bellingham property and in our other properties. So we're blessed because the Adrian Dominican sisters were all in on that whole idea and gave us a $1.5 million grant to do that work. And so again, another example of the sisters just coming in and saying, yep, we believe this is important too. The other example I would say is that we just opened the building in Vancouver, and I shared this with a number of folks in regards to sitting there listening to all the speeches, because anytime you open a building, there's lots of speeches, right?
Right.
and I was sitting there and I just closed my eyes and listened to the kids playing on the playground equipment, because we had about 20 families at that point in time who had just moved in. And so I heard all these kids playing, and the amazing piece of that, Mimi, that I think was so important is that most of these families had escaped the war conflict in Ukraine. And thinking, you know, I closed my eyes and listened, and I just thought, you know, 10 months ago, these kids weren't able to be kids, and they were fleeing trauma and all of that. And to know that they could now have a safe place to live and be in community with each other and laugh and be kids, right? Like not have those big concerns. So I think that those are just a couple of examples that jump out at me.
But I think is particularly great is Mercy Housing, you know, just doesn't provide a roof over a person's head.
Right.
And each resident, or pretty much most of the residents, have a resident services person there who looks at the needs, not just, you know, here's the roof over their heads, but is there enough food for people? And often this person will be of the same culture as the people themselves. So they know how to relate to the persons that predominate probably in that particular building. But they're looking at all of these education, and I presume and know that they'll get them other help if they need it, medical help and other things to see to that. And Katie, of course, could speak to that much better than I. But it's looking at the whole person and the person's needs.
We say that in our Holy Names community, the full development of the human person. I mean, that's what Mercy Housing does, full development. So everyone can shine.